my thoughts this week and recently have been on the gospel. And I know that people get confused as to what is the gospel. Paul says that he was ready to preach it to the church at Rome. He says so in verse 15 in chapter 1, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, people get mistaken in thinking that the gospel is the preaching of it. I've got an example that might help us understand. It helped me understand it, and hopefully it'll help you. Jesus Christ is the gospel. His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection is the gospel. Now, what is gospel? Gospel is the good news, right? We've heard that. It is the good news. It is not, the gospel at its foundation is not the reporting of the good news. You can report news wrongly. Jesus died. He lived, and He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And what He preached was the good news of the kingdom. He set down the precedent getting it back to the way that God intended for it to be practiced. He gave them all the foundations for it, and they despised Him for it. They despised Him for a lot of reasons. But He was the promised one, and He told them at the beginning, John started, he preached the gospel and he preached the kingdom, right? That the kingdom is at hand. And then Jesus came and He preached the kingdom is at hand. He said, repent, for the kingdom's at hand. Now, He was talking about the kingdom that God had promised to Daniel and talked to Daniel about in the Old Testament, way back there, I think it's in chapter 3 or 4, one of them. He said, this kingdom's going to stand forever. It's not going to be left to other people. It's going to consume all these other kingdoms, and it's going to stand forever. And then John comes and preaches the kingdom. Jesus comes and preaches the kingdom. Well, what Jesus was preaching was the things that were supposed to be adhered to and really looked forward to. They should have been looking forward to all this. And yet, some of them did. The multitudes of the poor people, they loved it. The ones that were in the power and stood to lose their authority hated it. It's the same today. Now, the gospel is the event and the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a woman, made under the law, that He came and took on human flesh, yet being perfect, And he gave himself as a ransom for many, and he offered himself to God. And he died on the cross, and while he was on that cross, he took all of my sins, all of your sins, all of the sins of all of his people, and he gave himself as an offering. It says, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That tells me I could preach a whole sermon on that. So Jesus Christ and the acts and the fact that he did all these things is in its essence the gospel. It is the event of those things. The preaching of the gospel is the report of the good news. Right? That's what I'm doing today. I'm not making the news. Jesus did that. Jesus made the news. Right? He's the one that came in flesh, and he's the one that offered himself to God without spot once. I didn't do that. So the gospel is, in its essence, what Jesus did. The preaching of the gospel is the report of what Jesus did. Now, have y'all ever seen, we've got a big thing now, and there's a term going around that in politics, and I'm not getting political, I'm just making a statement, that there's fake news out there. And there is. There's a lot of fake news on any side that you want to look at. There's a lot of people that report what they want to report instead of just reporting the facts. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the fact, and the preaching of the gospel is the reporting of those facts. Amen? I'm not making this stuff up. That there are some gospels out there, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we want the gospel that's preached to be the real, true, unadulterated, pure gospel of the kingdom, don't we? I don't want to have any gospel or any report that's a bad report or a misreport. I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that are misreporting what Jesus did. They're misreporting the gospel. I don't want to misreport the gospel at all. What happens when you get a bad report? What happens when somebody tells you something, let's just make it not about Jesus, but just in your life. Somebody tells you something that's not right, and you go and make your decisions based on what they said, then you made a mistake. And it turned out bad for you. Right? Well, let's think about this reporting of the gospel that's right. When the report is right, you can rely on it, can't you? I tell you, have y'all ever seen the people that report the news, the newspapers, and where they don't check all their sources and they don't vet all their stories and they don't confirm the things, and they might take one person's word for it instead of doing their due diligence in searching for the truth. And so they'll report an error. And then when somebody calls them on it, guess what happens? They have to take it back and print publicly that they make a mistake. But not one time have you ever seen that mistake admission on the front page, have you? They always put it back on 5 deep, way back in there. And a little bit of thing, we made a mistake on this one. Because humans don't like to be wrong, do they? But how wrong we are so many times. Now Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed of what Jesus did. And he wasn't ashamed of preaching it either, was he? Are you ashamed of what Jesus did? Are you ashamed of telling somebody about it? You might be. I have been. I'd like to think the older I get and the crustier I get, the less I'm worried about that. I'm less worried about what people think about what I'm telling them. Because, look, if you tell them the truth and they don't like it, they're not denying you. They're not rejecting you. Who are they rejecting? They're rejecting the truth. I tell you, they're rejecting the truth of the gospel. Now, Paul says that this gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Now, is Paul talking about, if you, that's a difficult verse, isn't it? I mean, what we've really got here is what Jesus did, I mean, as far as the pure gospel, is what Jesus did, the one that, is that what saves people to go to heaven? Or is it somebody having to hear the gospel with their ears? That's really what we've got under consideration in order for to make what Christ did effective. You know it. Everybody preaches it. You turn on the TV and they'll tell you to let God do something. They will. So that you then, or we, under that system of preaching, become the ones in the driver's seat for that. Paul says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. I believe that. I believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ did everything necessary to procure the salvation of His people. But let's look at what He says next. He said, to them that believe. Isn't that right? He says that it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. I believe what Paul's got under consideration here is the purpose of the gospel in helping people understand that it is the power of God that did it, but you know, it's not only that, but it's powerful for your life. Let's think about a vehicle. You know, and I'm going to make an analogy or an example here. We got a lot of cars out here in the parking lot. And I would be willing to bet a lot of money that every one of them's got an engine in it. Right? Because there wasn't any cars here early this morning. All of them drove here, didn't they? What did they need to drive here? They needed an engine. They needed the gas to fire up that engine, right? Now, when if Sonny and I were driving down the road the other day, and we saw in Alabama, we saw this. Y'all have seen that movie Cars? But Towmator, that the wrecker, they had a wrecker out there, and it was just sitting there, and I probably didn't even have an engine in it. That one's not going to go anywhere, is it? Don't have an engine. So if your car's got an engine in it, let's say that you're a car and you're born again. Well, when you're born again, you get an engine, right? You get an engine. But that engine ain't going to go very far. And just the fact that you've got an engine means that you're a functioning car, okay? But for you to function properly, you need to have some gas, some fuel put in that tank, right? For you to crank it up and take off. I tell you, Paul's not got eternal security things under consideration here. He's talking about the power of God for people that are born again, to the believers, right? So, I tell you what, it's just like if you're a believer, and that means you got an engine, and he's saying that the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, What Jesus did, what He accomplished, and the reporting of that news is good news for you. And it's gas for your engine and helps to fire you up so that you can function properly in the kingdom. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, for it is revealed from faith to faith in the next verse. For therein, in the gospel, in the preaching of the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, so what have we got under consideration? We got living. We got living right now. Living by faith. I don't need faith in glory. It'll be realized. I won't need it then. I won't need hope then. We're talking about right now. We're talking about a now salvation. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a bunch of places that we could go. Because the gospel is used, I believe it's 98 times the word gospel is used. 96 of those times, it means one of two things. It either means what Jesus did or the report of what Jesus did, basically. Paul tells this church of Corinth, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Come on now. That sounds good to me, don't it? But it could be a problem for some folks if they're reporting the gospel wrongly. How is this salvation working? Do y'all see the dilemma? The conflict? If I can be saved by the gospel to glory, then I've got to keep this thing in my memory. And that's bad news for my mama that's got Alzheimer's. That's bad news for the infirmed, isn't it? That's bad news for folks that have lost some of their memory. I tell you, this is talking about right now. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now that, folks, in essence, is the very core of the gospel. His death, burial, and resurrection. Now, there's a lot of things that affects. And you've got to, you know, there's a lot of things. And Paul talked about the effects of some things in this. Resurrection. Paul's going on to defend the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he's going to say this is real. He says, for if it's not real, then our preaching is vain. It's just vanity. It's empty if this is not real. If the gospel did not happen, if Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, then you're yet in your sins. That's bad. But thanks be to God that the gospel did come. And Paul preached it. And I'm preaching it, hopefully. Paul took things out to their logical end all the way down through here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Do y'all know that people handle the Word of God deceitfully then, and they still do today? Did y'all know that? I mean, just because somebody stands up in front of a crowd on Sunday morning, opens up a Bible, and preaches to them, doesn't mean that they're telling all the truth. There are deceivers out there. And on that note, I want you to be so well acquainted with God's Word that if somebody was to come to you and to... I know you have it happen every day. People, they come to you and they make statements that are false in this Bible. I don't want you to be deceived in thinking that, yeah, that's right, when it's not. But the only way for you to do that is to know what God's Word says. So we've got to read it. We've got to meditate upon it. And we've got to put it into practice in our life. But I at least want you to be able to identify a deceiver. They're out there. He says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now here it is. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, here we got light and dark happening right here, don't we? We got, he says, the light. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let me ask you a question. Is Satan more powerful than God? No, he's not. This kind of sounds like he is when you read it. I mean, if you don't really think about it. Paul's saying our gospel's hid to them that are lost because we just can't get it done. We just can't read. I mean, we preach it, but they the God of this world has blinded their mind. And they can't see it. You know why they can't see it? I believe because God hasn't commanded the light to shine out of darkness in them yet. That's what he says next. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk a little bit about light. We're going to get to it a little bit later. I'll save it for later. Do you know, I do want to say this. My time's gone. When God, and Paul brings up the creation of God, doesn't he? He says, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Y'all remember that's one of the first, in the first chapter or first few verses in the Bible. It says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Didn't ask the light if it wanted to go, didn't ask the earth if it wanted the light, didn't ask any of the elements if they needed light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen? Amen. Do y'all agree with God speaking this world into existence and the vast cosmos that we can't even see? I do. I believe that God took that and He said, and He just created it all. Bible says He hung the stars on nothing, or He hung the world on nothing. Oh, and He, by the way, He also made the stars. Just a side note, you know, in parentheses, oh, He also made the stars. That's amazing. And you can, if you believe that account of creation, which most, I won't say most anymore, I'll say a good portion of Christianity still believes in the literal 6 days of creation by the power of the voice of God. Paul is saying that just as God spoke the creation into existence, He does the same thing for us daily. I mean, well, daily, not for me daily. It only happened to me one time. And it only happened to you one time where He says, let there be light, and there's light in your life. Now, someone that will stand up and defend the creation over evolution will stand up and talk about the power of God in natural creation. And possibly, at the end, most probably, at the end of their discourse, they'll ask dead folks to come and receive life. Now, that don't jee-haw with the creation account, does it? What you've got then is someone proposing spiritual evolution. Y'all got it? Y'all chew on that for a minute. They'll believe the power of God in natural creation, but not in spiritual creation, like a new creature. They'll think it's a process or however what. You know, it's not. It is a process. It's a process that God does. You're the recipient of it, just like the earth was without form and void. It was a recipient of the light. It didn't cause any of the light. It didn't have to do anything to receive the light. It just received it. And that's the way that the new creation happens daily, because God still born again people every day in this world. Does that make sense to y'all? Okay. Now, that's hid to folks. Some folks that are lost. Now, every time you see lost in the Bible, don't mean that they're eternally lost. There's a sheep that was lost too one time, wasn't it? The Lord talked about that. He said, shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and he finds that one that's lost. It didn't say a goat that was lost. It said it was a sheep that was lost. I'll tell you what. We can be lost in this world. Wander away from the path. And we need folks to bring us back. Galatians chapter 1. Paul tells the Galatians, he says, verse 6, I marvel. You know what that means? It means, I'm amazed. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They would pervert the good news of Christ. We see that these Paul was just amazed at what the good things that they had, why they would leave that to go to a perverted version of the gospel. Paul says, a perverted version of the good news, which is not good news, Paul says. There's not another set of events that are good news. This is the only good news that needs to be preached. It is the only good news that there is. It's the only gospel. There's not two or three or four different versions of the real gospel. There's only one. There's only one. Paul says, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed. You know, I'm amazed at that. I really am. I'm amazed because I know people, and you do too, that have grown up hearing the truth. They've grown up loving the truth, coming to church, and then they are, at, over the years, I don't know what creeps in, but something creeps in and it ain't godliness. Something creeps in and it's Satan creeps into their mind and affects them into thinking that this is not a gospel. The gospel. They get them to thinking that there's something else better out there, whether it's wickedness in the world or some other gospel. That I marvel at that, don't you? It just blows my mind how someone could read the scriptures and listen to preaching of the true gospel and then turn away from it when they once loved it. The Bible does talk about that situation several times. And it never says that them people are hell-bound. But they are in for a world of hurt in this world. I'll tell you what, Ephesians chapter 1. That's a good place to go in. Paul says in verse 11, it's hard to start. I mean, it's a long sentence. I'm going to start in the middle of it at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Do you know, this is just extra. You don't do anything to obtain an inheritance, do you? You get an inheritance because you're a child, right? I've got two children. I'm not going to leave any of my stuff to y'all. I mean, I love you and all, but it ain't going to be a whole lot of stuff anyway. But what I do got, I'm going to leave it to my children. God does the same thing. We have an inheritance in God that God gave us, and it's Jesus Christ. And we've now, all these good things, he says, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, that's setting up the foundation. He says, God first trusted in Christ. You know what? That means he had faith in his blood. Bible speaks about that. The Father's faith in the blood of His Son. God first trusted in Christ that He would accomplish what He set it out to do. Now, and accomplish His will that He sent. Now, He says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation. He said, you heard it. In whom also after that ye believed. Now here we've got hearing first and then believing. We don't have believing first and then hearing, as we did earlier. Here we got hearing and then believing. He says, after you did that, then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, is that a problem for you? It's not a problem for me. I don't have a problem with that. But it seems like when you read it, that that is the prescription for being born again. But it's not. Let me ask you a question. Have y'all ever been to a funeral? Y'all ever walked up to the casket, seen a dead man or laid in the casket? I have. Bunch of times. I've seen people talk to corpses and they never talk back. Do they? You reckon they hear them? Nah, corpses can't hear. What can a dead man do? Nothing. Dead man can't do a thing. I could sit there and scream and holler at the top of my voice about the goodness and graciousness and mercy and love and perfectness of Jesus Christ to them, and they won't move one millimeter, one tiny muscle. They can't. They're dead, right? If there's any moving going on, that means they're alive, right? If I go to a sick person and preach to them, I've seen a sick person, a person that's been made alive by God. The Spirit has quickened them. Y'all know what quick means, don't you? You know, I clipped my toenails this morning. Thank goodness, my fingernails. I thank the Lord I didn't get into the quick. Because that hurts, don't it? Y'all ever heard your grandma, or you probably even said, she would clip her fingernails and jerk back, and she says, "Ooh, son, you got in the quick." That means I got done hit some live tissue right there. And that hurts. The preaching of the gospel should hit you in the quick. It should, and the only person that it could hit is the quick end, the live people. And it's not talking about living and breathing, it's talking about being a new creation in Christ, a born again child. Now, he says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You know what that word sealed means? It means confirmed. You know, when you're born again, and you hear the gospel, and you... And it convicts you, and you repent, and you believe what is said, and you believe it to be the truth by the Spirit of God, then that confirms that you have the Spirit of God in you, and it's really justification by faith is what it is. It means that you are justified as having the Spirit in you because you're sealed at that point. And it's just like I heard an analogy by an old cattle farmer. He says, "When I went out, I heard this old calf, or calf bellowing, and I went over, and he said, I saw my calf on my neighbor's land across my fence." And he said, "I went over to get that thing." So I didn't want him to be stealing any of my cows. But he went over there and got that calf, and he was assured that it was his. I mean, in his mind, he thought, "This is my calf." He brought it over back on his fence, and as soon as he did that, said that old mama cow started bellowing and just really laying it into him. And he looked at it better, and he says, "Oh, this is not my calf." That mama was letting him know, "That is not yours." That's kind of like being justified. When we exhibit the Spirit in our lives and we're convicted by the gospel, that seals, confirms, it ought to confirm to you that you are a child of God. That's the Holy Spirit of promise. He said He'd teach you all things, take these things of mine and show them unto you. That's a good confirmation to you. If it thrills your soul, that's a good confirmation. That's a good seal that you're God's child. And He says, this sealing and the gospel is, and the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I mean, this keeps on getting better and better. I mean, it starts out good and it keeps on getting better and better in the first, second, third chapter of Ephesians. I mean, if you want to go and read about what God's done for you and how much He loves you, you meditate on this. You read, meditate on it, and you'll really find out how much God loves you. I tell you, there's another difficult scripture about the gospel. It's in Colossians 1 and 21. He says, we'll start in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, period. End of sentence. And you, Paul says, that were sometime alienated, that means being a stranger from God, alienated and enemies in your mind. Where is that? It's up here. It's up here. By wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I tell you, Jesus reconciled His people, didn't He? These people, Paul speaks to these people that were sometime alienated in their mind. And I tell you what, basically what Paul is saying is if you want to remain strong and steadfast and firm, then you keep on doing this and you won't be alienated in your mind anymore. That's what I see in it. He's not saying about if you remember all this, then Jesus will reconcile you. He said Jesus already did that. Jesus already reconciled you. Your memory and your being alienated in your mind helps you right now, right? Have y'all ever read this scripture and had a problem with it where it said, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled? It's bothered me a little bit, but you know, that it really is just pretty simple. Paul's got our minds under consideration. He had these Colossians minds consideration. Have y'all ever seen people that lose their minds? We talked about some of them earlier, the ones that heard all the truth. They didn't continue in those things, grounded and settled. And apparently, they got alienated. They went back to being alien in their mind. Because if you're a child of God, and you don't continue in these things, I'm telling you, you're going to be an alien to God, and God's going to be an alien to you. Don't mean that you're not His son anymore. Don't mean that Jesus took back His reconciliation for you. It just means that you're just alienated from God in your mind. Another purpose of the gospel, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, that's Timothy, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You know, that's one thing that the gospel does. It establishes us and comforts us. That's the reason why we're preaching this morning. That's the reason why folks go to hear the gospel, is because it establishes them in their faith, and it also comforts us. That's it does. I tell you what, if I didn't get any comfort for my sin sickness, I wouldn't go. That's not a gospel, is it? That's not good news, is it? I'm telling you, you turn on the TV, what is it? It's all bad news. I don't like to hear that message. So Paul says that's one of the purposes of the gospel is to establish you in your faith and to comfort you. How many of y'all have got all the establishment that you need in the Word? I don't. How many of y'all have all the comfort that you need? You still need to be comforted. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to need more comfort than others. Right? So why would you not come and hear the gospel? Because that's what it's for. Amen? That's right. Now, one more. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. I saved the best one for last. Well, I don't say best one. Now, Paul says in verse 8, tells Timothy, well, I'm going to go back to 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. There's a lot of people that are preaching the spirit of fear out there, isn't it? That's not a gospel. That is not any kind of gospel. But of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Now I tell you what, Paul's saying, and I think that Timothy, something happened in Timothy as a young minister. Something, I don't know what happened, but I know that Timothy had folks in his church that he pastored. There were some folks in there that were trying to overthrow the faith of some. He talked about it, Hymenaeus and Alexander and all them people were negating what Timothy was preaching and drew some people after them and away from the truth of the gospel. And I tell you what, when you've got conflict in the church, two opposing viewpoints about something, and one of them is a heresy and one of them is truth, that pastor is going to have troubles. Timothy had some troubles, and they caused him much affliction. Paul says, don't you be ashamed about it though, Timothy. You don't be ashamed of me, nor of the testimony of our Lord, the real truth of the gospel. But you be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. It's talking about God now, the power of God who hath saved us. That's good stuff to me. That's comforting to my soul to know that I don't have to worry about getting unsaved. If God did it, I know it's right. If God did it, I know it's secure. If God did it, I know it's forever. Amen? Amen. Yes, sir. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. He says that it was the purpose of God to do it, and it was the grace of God that brought it, which was given us in Christ Jesus on the cross. Here He says, before the world began. Hallelujah. That's God's purpose. You were sanctified, set apart, chosen, predestined, elected before the world began. And the good news is that Jesus took all those things and made them solidly and confirmed them, that He had finished the work that God gave Him to do, and He proved it by His resurrection. He proved it before that, but He proved it by His resurrection. Resurrection proved that He was truly the Son of God. But the Roman declared that before His resurrection, didn't he? Now, here's what I want. But is now made manifest, or brought to light, by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Who abolished death? Jesus did. Did the preaching of the gospel abolish death? No. And hath brought life and immortality. What brought life and immortality? Jesus did, didn't he? Jesus brought the life and the immortality. I could no more make you immortal by preaching the gospel than I could a frog. I mean, I don't have that kind of power. The words that come out of my mouth don't have that kind of life-giving, quickening power. But God does. What does the gospel do then? It brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. Y'all know if we put tinfoil, I did that in college because we like to sleep, you know. Put tinfoil on the windows so no sunlight could come in. I mean, it was like it was midnight at 12 o'clock in the day when we put tinfoil on those windows. And if we did that in here and turned off all the lights and nobody made a sound, and then somebody came in and flipped the light on, would the flipping the light on make us just appear in bodily form? No, we were always here, right? But what this gospel does is it lets you know about what Jesus did. There's a lot of things that happen in Memphis every day, aren't there, or Nashville, that I don't know about. You know why? Because I don't take the paper. I don't read the news about what's going on in Nashville or Memphis. And I don't really care so much, because it's not much good happening. If I decided one day that I wanted to pick up a paper that had the Nashville news, if I picked that paper up and read what went on in Nashville, would my reading it make the event happen? That don't make any sense, does it? That don't make any sense at all. My reading it is letting me know what had already happened in Nashville. You can't print the news before it happens, can you? But you know God did. God printed the news before it happened. We're back in the Old Testament. All of that stuff talking about Jesus Christ. And if I don't read the newspaper that of the events that happened in Nashville, if I don't read it, would that keep the news from happening? Would that keep the events from happening just because I didn't read it? That's silly, isn't it? In the same manner, it's silly to believe or preach that you have to hear, believe, continue on the gospel to make what Jesus did real. What Jesus did was real. Do you believe He saved you? I do. You know why? Because He's my Savior. You can't be a Savior unless you actually save. Right? You might just be a responder. You might just respond to the call. Jesus is not just the first responder. Jesus is a Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's read the news. Let's tell the news. You know, I'll tell you this story and I'll quit. It's about time. It's probably been about time. I coached my son in baseball. And he was probably 7 years old or something, 7 or 8. Just now starting for the coach pitch, doing all that. And there was a fella, a dad that was helping coach. He come out there. He was a rough man. I mean, really rough. He was mean. I mean, just a mean fella. Y'all know the type. Talks to his kids mean. Talks to his wife mean. Just a mean man. And he come up, and he used to get in fights a lot. A lot. I mean, he was just a brawler. Just a brute man. And had a short temper and red-headed. Now, no offense to any red-headed people. But, I mean, he had a short temper. He was rough. And we were there one day. He comes up to me because he knew I was a preacher. He called me preacher, man. He said, "Preacher, man? Said, I got saved last night." And he was happy. And I said, "No, you didn't." Boy, he clenched up his fist and he was about to hit me in the face. And I'm not joking, folks. He was about to hit me in the face. And I said, "You got saved 2,000 years ago. You just found out about it last night." He unclenched his fist. And his body posture got calm. And he said, "You know something? I never have thought about it like that." I said, "You need to think about it like that. Because that's what happened." May the Lord bless you to preach the gospel with your life. The true gospel. Don't listen to that old false myth. Don't listen to it. There's two cups of water up here. I'm going to give you this analogy too. You got two cups of water up here. Let's say this one that don't have the top on it. It's pure, clean, and perfect water. And then you got muddy water over here. Which one would you choose to drink? I believe I'm going to drink the pure water of the gospel. That's healthy. That'll make you healthy. It'll refresh your soul. That muddy water full of bacteria that'll make you sick. Don't drink that kind of water. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Doors of our church are open for reception of members. Should any sin-sick child of God have a desire to join with this church, you may come as we sing. You have a number?